On the show today, I am joined by Sally, direct from Natchez, Mississippi, and we're going to talk about presentation technology, both in worship and the classroom, whether that be a catechism class, a Christian education classroom, or other, as well as many other helpful hints about content for presentations. So all that and more coming up next. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs. Welcome back to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology and where it meets ministry. This is episode 228 for March 21st, 2012. Coming to us directly from Natchez, Mississippi, is my co-host, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Isn't technology amazing?
It is. It is. How are things in Mississippi?
Things are lovely and warm. We're in the 80s, and I'm seeing lots of azaleas blooming everywhere.
I miss the azaleas. I lived for 5 years in South Carolina, and April, actually, usually it was around Easter time where we'd see just the azaleas blooming all over the place. So
yeah,
we're approaching 80 here, too, so you don't have too many degrees on us.
Isn't that something from March and in the north? I can't get over the temperatures.
Yeah. So you've got, we've got Wells Tech South and Wells Tech North here. but the show is still the same. And what are we talking about today, Sally?
Today it's Wells Tech Presentations. We are looking at all different kinds of technology around presentations for worship, presentations for various education, and all the different things that go into being successful with your presentations.
Yeah, part of this is one of the reasons I think I suggested maybe this would be a good topic is, you know, we get a lot of questions, first of all, about presentation technology, projectors, software. We had just a couple questions even last week. What's the best software to use in worship? And I know as I visit different congregations, everybody's using something a little bit different. And most congregations are, I think, thinking about presentation technology, even if it's just for presenting, you know, Wells Connection or something like that. But more and more are putting the entire service, you know, up on the screen. And certainly presentation technology is huge in the classroom. There are very few classrooms today that probably don't have a projector of some sort and PowerPoints and use discovery videos, those kinds of things. So it's a really appropriate topic. The second reason that I suggested the topic is I'm doing an online class this summer for Martin Luther College, one credit course on presentation techniques. What's good, what's bad in both the technology area but in the content creation area. So thought we'd put it together in a show, and voila, here it is on March 21st. So where do we start? Let's maybe start on the worship side. What do you think, Sally?
Very good. We have lots of links to share with our audience, and it's awesome that the Shop Wells program has a lot of these vendors that have different technology. For instance, if you're looking for a projector, there are a couple in the Shop Wells program, AVI Systems and InfoCore, that have projectors for discounted prices for our Wells congregation.
And projectors are really important, obviously, in a worship setting because our churches aren't all conducive to optimal lighting conditions. We've got stained glass windows. Some have, you know, more light coming in than others. Sometimes there's not the optimal place to put a projector. So it's important to pick the right one, and there are a number of different ones. Usually you want to go high end, I think, when you're talking about presentation technology in the worship facility, because you obviously don't want it to distract from the worship, and you want it to be obviously viewable and reliable. So you don't want to go, you know, kind of bargain basement on these. And these two vendors are aware of that and sell some quality products. Usually you're going to want to stay in the, you know, the upper end of the lumens, at least 2,200, 3,000 lumen area, and that's going to jack the price up quite a bit. But it really is an investment that you want to not cheap out on. And I don't have any particular brands per se that I would recommend, but I would say talk to these vendors and ask their advice on that. There's a couple different types you can consider. There's what's called long throw projectors. So in some churches, you could probably mount these in the balcony area if there is a balcony or in the back wall, something like that. Or short throw, which you can get real close and still get a good quality picture depending on the architecture of your church. So lots of considerations there. You're also probably going to want to work with a professional installer as well. Now, you can do it yourself, but there's a couple of vendors in the Shopwell's system, in the Shopwell's program, AVI Systems that we talked about before. There's a couple others that also work in the sound area, Northern Sound and Video and DSH Audio Visions. All three of them have our contact there, our Wells folks, so they understand kind of how our churches work and what are the considerations there. So it's worth a call into any of those, even just to seek advice. They're all very helpful. Even if you don't employ them or have them come out to your facility, it's probably worth a conversation to any one of those three to see what they would recommend in your scenario.
You know, we aren't specifically talking audio, although those people can advise you on that. But we have an audio guy in our congregation, and he literally tweaked the angles of our speakers to make the waves of the sound not bounce off against each other, but work together. And it improved drastically just by, you know, by mere inches, the angles of the speakers. So these guys, these professionals are worth their weight in gold when they can do that kind of tweaking to your systems.
It's not like setting up your stereo in a box that you get at Best Buy in your home theater area. So, you know,
maybe for some people.
There's a big difference,
Yeah. And, you know, to couple with all that great equipment, you mentioned earlier that there are lots of different software solutions for the worship setting. And, you know, you certainly could go with something like a PowerPoint and develop PowerPoint slides.
A lot of churches do that,
certainly. But there are customized software that are built specifically with worship in mind, things like MediaShout and others. And there's actually a vendor, Point of Power, that has a lot of those different software solutions listed on their website as well. And I think that's a Wells vendor.
It is. That's a Wells pastor and his wife that I think run that out of someplace over in Michigan. So, yeah, Point of Power would be a great location. Get the link from our show notes. But I think they are a distributor for all the major church or worship presentation softwares. And then we, way back in 2008, we did an interview with a representative from MediaShout, which is maybe one of the first on the scene. But they make it just a little bit easier. PowerPoint will work, and I've seen a lot of churches use it effectively. That's kind of the low end, and you can make that work. But if you want to get a little bit more sophisticated and kind of have something that's more dedicated to the worship experience or setting with hymns and liturgies and those kinds of things that can run through the system as well as kind of templated, those packages can be considered. And they're not hard to learn. I've played around with a lot of them, and they're pretty intuitive. I think in that area, this kind of dips into our next area called content. You usually want to make sure that you are, if you're the pastor, that you're not the only one involved with this process, that you maybe involve people on a team that would not only help with the setup, but also the week-to-week creation and usage of it in a worship experience.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for a couple of dedicated volunteers who kind of own the system, who know what to tweak when things don't go exactly right. I know, you know, with it being Lent, we're always having different speakers in our congregation for the rotation of pastors that are doing leading worship. And so having people that know how to adjust the microphones correctly and things, that's one example. Similarly, if someone has developed the worship projection. They're going to know what to tweak about it if things aren't exactly projecting correctly or whatever. So you can't say enough for those dedicated volunteers and, you know, kind of the creation through the presentation person that that oversees the whole process and can make adjustments on the fly.
Yeah, I see three positions or three people involved in this process. Obviously, the pastor who's going to be more involved with the content. What should we project? You know, the hymns, the readings, those kinds of things. Then you need somebody in the service itself who's operating the system so that the pastor isn't having to do that as well. Although I've seen that done where the pastor is the one advancing the slides and those kinds of things. And then I think you need somebody with a designer's eye who understands presentation technologies, who understands fonts and understands imagery and how to send a message just with a picture. Somebody with that skill set is really going to be invaluable to make this more than just, well, we're just going to flash words up on a screen. There's a mood that needs to be set. There's just like you would in any kind of church artistry, there's a technique to that. There's a skill to that. And it would be helpful to find somebody who's
just
got those
skills. Just a
general
presentation tip is envisioning what you want them to walk away with, mm-hmm. and then, you know, building your imagery and everything to support that, not just fitting the need of putting some words up on the screen, but the message that you want your viewers to walk away with.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the book we read from Shane Hipps, where a quote from that book was, "The screen always wins." Mm-hmm. So if you're competing with the screen, what you're saying and the screen is up doing something, people are going to tend to watch the screen. So make sure that whatever you've got on the screen is worth watching, is worth viewing, and really adds to, you know, the message or the worship experience.
Sure. Before we get away too much from that worship projection, we probably should make mention that there are video resources out there. We have three that we're aware of: Worship House Media, Centerline Media, and Muddy River Media. Mm-hmm. And we'll include links to those in the show notes. And a lot of times they have still imagery, but a lot of video imagery, like short clips and things like that, that you might be able to make use of.
Yep, very good quality stuff. And surprisingly inexpensive for some of their video clips, you know, under 10, 15 bucks, something like that, that you know, that could add a lot to the worship experience. And that's a good thing. So take a look at those links.
Mm-hmm. We probably should make mention of educational side of things.
Sure.
As well. The ball game kind of changes when you're on the educational side. You have a little more flexibility than just, you know, the standard worship projection, whereas you could mm-hmm. make use of software like Prezi or Mind Maps or Slide Rocket, that kind of thing, instead of just your standard PowerPoints to tell your story or to convey the information that you want.
Yep.
And you also have different delivery. You can deliver things on a smart board with the interaction touch screen capabilities, or make use of document cameras or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a new addition to our family, and a new iPad is in our household at this point. And Debbie's kind of thinking about maybe uses for that in the classroom. And that's another presentation technology where the iPad could be hooked up to a projector via cable, or even better yet, if you add like an Apple TV in the mix, you can use something like AirPlay, where your iPad is portable, where you can walk around the room and simply mirror what's on your screen to the Apple TV, which would connect up into your projector. So you've got you know, that portable tablet. You could play videos, show documents, all those kinds of things on the iPad, and then the whole class can see. Yet you have the mobility to move around the class and those kinds of things, or even put the iPad in the hands of a student and let them interact with it.
Lots of potential
there,
for
sure. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of presentation options.
Yeah.
And on the content side, an equal number of options. One tool that I use a lot when I do presentations right now is Digo. It's one of our favorite bookmarking sites. It kind of took over for Delicious, and I think they've taken it a couple steps further, where if I have a list of resources for a workshop or a presentation that I want the workshop participants, or if we're applying this to Bible class or catechism class or even a Christian day school, if you want a list of resources available, I just put those links in Digo in a list. Share the one link to the list, and then they have access to it. And not only do they have access to it, but they would have access to notes that I would take or descriptions that I would write, so even more information about the link or the resource, the web resource, than they normally would just in a printed piece of paper. So that's one great resource I use all the time.
And for me, I've been using MindDomo to build my presentations and do my presentations in an online mind map, including all the links right there in the mind map.
Right.
So
then
I just send them or give them the link to the mind map, and they have all the links there. They can explore as I'm talking if they want, and certainly after the presentation is over.
Sure. All right, lots of good stuff, and be sure to visit the show notes page for more information and all the links that we just talked about. Our interview this week, Sally, is very appropriate as we are talking to Brian Davison of Koine. Many people know who Koine is. They started out as the worship band at St. Marcus in Milwaukee, but now kind of do their own thing. I think they still are, you know, do a lot of stuff at St. Marcus, but they were recently on tour out west, and we had a chance to catch up with Brian to talk about a new conference that they're starting up this summer. I don't know if this will be a consistent
thing
or not.
It's actually in April.
In April. Did I say summer? I'm sorry. Yeah April. April 19th to 21st at Wisconsin Lutheran College, called the Hearts and Hands of David Workshop, which has as a component of it worship technology. But it covers far more than that, the arts in worship. So let's, without further ado, let's listen to our conversation with Brian Davison of Koine. We're very pleased to have joining us today Brian Davison of Koine. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Martin. How are you?
Good. Very good. Most of our listening audience knows who Koine is, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and where you are these days.
Sure. Koine is a musical group that started out of St. Marcus Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, about 9 years ago now. We began by just playing old hymns with a different feel, and next thing you know, we were being invited all over the country to play for churches and church picnics and grade schools, high schools, colleges, a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
About 2.5 years ago, we went full time as this ministry, and it's been tremendously blessed. We're currently, as I'm recording this, I'm in Kennewick, Washington, in the middle of a 2-week tour, which consisted of Colorado, Northern California, Oregon, Washington. From here, we go on to Montana and North Dakota, and then we finally get to go home. So it's 14 days, 18 events in 14 days. So kind of a busy little couple weeks for us.
No kidding. You picked all those warm weather locations in the middle of winter here.
Well, it worked out. It worked out very good for the first week. This the second week we're running into a little bit of snow, but Lord willing, we'll get home just fine.
Okay. How many albums do you have out now?
We have 5 full length albums that we produced for those 9 years.
Okay. And is it koinemusic.com? Is that your website?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, and people can buy your stuff there. And I know I've seen it at MPH and iTunes, I suppose.
iTunes as well, yep. Our Facebook page, you can buy music right off of Facebook. We also have sheet music books available now and accompaniment tracks and background videos and everything. So all kinds of neat stuff that we're getting into.
Beautiful. Well, we appreciate you taking some time in the middle of your tour there, and it sounds like you're fighting a little bit of a cold, which is not a good thing for a musician.
No, not ideal, especially for the singer, but Yeah, we'll find a way to make it through.
We'll try and be easy on you. Sally's got the same thing going, I think. So, wanted to talk to you about a workshop you have coming up called Hearts and Hands of David. It's April 20th and 21st, so coming up this next month. You bill it as a workshop on modern artistry in Lutheran worship. It's going to be at Wisconsin Lutheran College here in Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit about how this all got started and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, Wisconsin Lutheran College and Koine, we've been working together for a couple of years now on some different ministries. And they had approached us about an opportunity to do some kind of a musical workshop for Lutheran churches that lead worship with a band.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were kind of excited about that opportunity and started talking to some of our friends who are doing the same thing. And they all agreed it was a really neat opportunity, and they wanted to be a part of it as well. And then the more and more we talked to people, we also wanted to include more mediums in the arts as well, instead of just music, other artistic ways to serve in Lutheran worship as well. And so there are a few things as well for medium artists. We also have an emphasis on using technology in worship. And really, we like to combine those two worlds of using technology and the arts, because we've found that in our experience, we love using artistic images, whether they're pictures, paintings, sculptures, whatever it may be, using those images as opportunities to help tell the story of the music or of the scripture, backgrounds for just simply song lyric slides or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
If we find those very effective. In our own little way, we call them the modern stained glass window.
Mm-hmm.
In the Lutheran church, because you know, stained glass windows so often tell the story of salvation. That's really what they do. You know, their point is to kind of have a picture story right there in church. Well, now we get to change that picture story every week,
mm-hmm.
and get to use different artists and their products and things like that, and just keep the story new and fresh and hopefully exciting and new for everybody.
So, Brian, this is Sally. I'm happy to get to talk to you today. I'm kind of a card-carrying Koine fangirl, so big thrill for me. I just want to pipe in with a great example of what you're describing in the on our Christmas show, I believe, Martin, we featured your music video for O Little Town of Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And I remember when we played that and we put the YouTube video on our show notes page, you know, how moved I was just by that visual that you coupled with your great music in that video. So great example.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we've been working hard on producing more of those. Our new album, The Vine, has one called Lord Jesus, You Have Come in Love. You can find a link to that on our website as well, or our YouTube page. It's a really effective way to, like I said, tell a story, make the lyrics of a song really jump out at somebody, and just make it that much clearer what you're trying to get across.
So the workshop that you're co-hosting here, Hearts and Hands of David, is there a cost to that? And how do people get involved if they're interested in attending?
Yeah, there is a little bit of a cost. It's a two-day conference or a workshop, and for the 2 days, we ask for $100. That covers also three of your meals during those days. It's hosted right there at Wisconsin Lutheran College. It's a Friday and a Saturday. And if you can only attend one day, then it does just jump down to $50. If you can get four or more people from one church to come, let's say a whole band wanted to come, or just a whole group of people from one church, if there are four or more people from one church that come, we give you a discounted rate of just $75 per person. So that jumps down a little bit there as well, and that's $75 for both days total. Mm-hmm. So the cost, I think, is very reasonable. We've had a little bit of a donation come in from a donor who just believes in this and really wanted to see something like this happening in the wells. Mm-hmm. And so that helped to keep the cost down just a little bit. And, of course, great. Wisconsin College partnering with us.
Sure.
Using their facilities and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Tremendous blessing.
Great. Where'd the name come from? How'd you come up with Hearts and Hands of David? What's the meaning of that?
Well, it came through a long process of trying to come up with a good name, to be honest.
Of course.
I have interns that work with me through Wisconsin Lutheran College, and we were racking our brains trying to come up with the right thing. And we thought we came up with the right thing. We ran it by a couple people, and they said, no, I don't really like that. But this one really came about when we started talking about, you know, the whole point of this is to be learning from the Bible as always, and a great example of creative worship. That's what we were trying to think, like, who's a great example of creative worship? And, of course, the first guy that jumps in your head is David.
Right.
David, as he danced before the Lord and did all of these creative things, you know, writing all of the Psalms and things like that. He obviously is an inspiration to many as to how to be creative when we talk about worshiping the Lord. And so the heart of David, of course, comes from the fact that David was a man after God's own heart. Of course, we want to have that same kind of motivation. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to include the hands in there because when we talk about the arts, that's really what we're talking about, the going and the doing, you know, literally using the gifts God has given you, motivated by the correct heart, the heart of David. So that's where it kind of came into the hearts and the hands of David. So that's kind of the history of the name there.
Very nice.
And the people that you see as being a great audience for this workshop would be band members like yourself or worship leaders or who exactly?
Absolutely. An easy one for band members or others who help worship leaders, like you said. There's even a special workshop on Thursday evening for those who are worship leaders specifically, if they're interested in coming early for the conference. But it's really open for any churches that maybe if they don't even have something going yet, they're just interested in maybe trying some new creative things in worship. It's not going to be crazy intensive where, you know, you have to be in this and doing this for so long. You know, we wanted to be kind of an introduction for a lot of people and a way to kind of network together and just learn from each other. As I said, there's a number of artists that are coming that aren't necessarily musical artists. They're sculptors and painters and things like that, showing the opportunities that they have to enhance worship through their creativity and through the gifts that God has given them. As I said, people using technology, anybody who uses a screen in worship or media in some capacity could gain from this workshop. So it really could be for anybody. We also even have a special spot for audio technicians. If there's somebody who runs the soundboard at church for a group, we're going to have an audio technician session so that you guys can they can continue to learn and grow together and hopefully make some friends who do the same thing that can you know, maybe help out in the future as well. So.
I'm laughing because I'm the audio techie at our church, and we got some serious buzz going on. So we need help. We need to come to your workshop.
Yeah, the breakout groups sound really interesting. Vehicles Definitely. Of the Gospel, Visual Arts in Lutheran Worship, Contemporary Music Analysis, How to Determine What's Appropriate and What's Not According to Lutheran Doctrine, Tools for Building a Music Ministry, Hymn Deconstruction and Reconstruction. That's kind of your music, right? In fact,
yeah, that'll be a Koine specific one. Okay. That we're just going to kind of go through our process. Everybody always wants to know how we come up with this stuff, and so we're going to just try it out. We're going to share with people a little bit of how we do what we do, and and hopefully get them to try doing the same thing.
Yep. So. And then finally, songwriting. What's the keynote on? Do you have that?
The keynote is going to be Pastor Aaron Christie. And,
Cool.
He and I have talked about it pretty extensively about what he wants to cover and the big topics that he's that we're hoping that he covers and that he's agreed to cover is basically how to be creative, not only with music and art and everything like that, liturgies and things like that. What's really important and essential in Lutheran worship that we can't lose or change? And of course, as we know, that's the gospel, that's the message itself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of freedom that we have in the way we go about worshiping.
Sure.
But there are some very essential things that that we're told in Scripture that should be included or should be considered as we gather as groups of Christians. And so he's going to cover some of those hard topics, I think. And we're really excited to have him as a part of this.
Awesome.
He often gets gets thrown into the what shall we say, the very, very traditional camp.
Mm-hmm.
And he's often said he really loves all kinds of worship, and he loves traditional worship, loves being creative though as well, and so he was really excited when we asked him to come and be our keynote speaker. So we're mm-hmm. we're excited to hear what he's got to say.
Very good. This sounds like an interesting blend of all kinds of gifts and focus, and probably anybody considering using some of these tools and technologies would do well to come and even just talk about it with other people and their experiences too. So sounds like a really worthwhile conference. Brian, thank you very much for taking the time with us. I know you've got a busy schedule, and looks like you've got a busy April now too with the conference here. So blessings on that work, and we'll probably try and follow up with you and see how it went, and maybe we can learn a few things too.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yep. Blessings on your ministry there and your travels.
And same to you. Thanks a lot, Martin and Sally. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you again, Brian, for taking time out of your busy schedule. And just a reminder that that conference is April 19th, 20th, and 21st at Wisconsin Lutheran College, called the Hearts and Hands of David Workshop. And we will put a link to the registration and the whole conference website on the show notes page.
Sounds like a lot of fun. We should probably follow up and
absolutely
and see what people learn there.
Yep. Blessings on that workshop, Brian. Shall we move on to ministry resources?
Yeah, Martin, you found a great article. I was excited to see 20 examples of church website navigation. So this is talking about the words that go across the top menu and down the side menu on your church website and how you organize that.
Yep. This is one of the first decisions you probably need to make when you're building a website, is what's on the navigation? How do people get through the site? How do people find the information they need to find? And I just ran across this blog post on, what blog is this? Communicate Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, Digital Inspiration for Ministry. And this is one that I've got in my RSS reader, and I read as they come across the wires there. And they show a number of examples from a number of churches about how they do it. And there's a lot of different ways to do it, and they all have a little bit different approach. Some are more artistic, some are more functional, some have subheads. I found it interesting even just to look at what kinds of things were in the navigation, not just what the navigation looked like, but how they carved out ministries, or if they had a blog, or in many cases, how do they treat the visitor? Is there something in the navigation that the visitor would immediately see as something that would be something they'd want to click on? So I'm new here, or about us, or those kinds of things. So very interesting blog post, and probably worth taking a look at. And I would encourage everybody probably to go back to your website and ask yourself, Now, is this the best navigation for my intended audience? And most systems allow that navigation to be changed very easily. I know in Final Web it's very easy to move stuff around, and you can have subheads and flyouts and those kinds of things, all useful tools to get your people around your website.
I teach an online class for MLC called Creating Church and School Websites, and we probably spend about a quarter of the whole class just looking at navigation. And probably one of the biggest challenges is simplifying the navigation.
Right.
People are prone to just put everything in the navigation, so it's really long and cumbersome. And if you look at some of your favorite websites, the reason they're your favorites is because they have three things in the menu system, or four or whatever, and they're very simple and not overwhelming.
Right.
And so you can bury a lot of things underneath those main headers. As they drill down into your site, you can lead them to other places on the site. But I love these examples because of the simplicity of them.
Yep. Very good. I think it's time for Picks of the Week, Sally.
Well, I'm going to surprise you this week, Martin, and have a hardware pick yet
again.
That's
usually my job.
This might be the third one this year. You're falling behind. But got a new piece of hardware in the Draper household. It's a T-Mobile MiFi hotspot. And what is exciting about this is that it is pay-as-you-go. So it allows us to have wireless access to the internet wherever we are, based on the T-Mobile network availability, of course. But then we can just buy a card for it and activate this access when we're traveling or have a need for it. And then we can let the device sit when we don't need to use it and not be paying a monthly fee for it. So that's an exciting thing. Had a chance to try it out because I am traveling, and so this was a real opportunity to make use of it, obviously. And it is a 4G device, so in the major cities, of course, not in Natchez, Mississippi, but in Baton Rouge and Memphis and in Minneapolis on my flights, I could get access at 4G speed in each of the major cities. And it was flawless.
It flies, doesn't it? 4G?
Yeah.
I found it faster than my home internet connection, which is pretty sturdy. Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is. And this hotspot allows up to five devices to be connected at once and making use of the wireless. And so with my family, there are five people in my family, and we all have wireless devices. So that's really nice. We can be driving down the road and still connected to the internet. We've never had that kind of connection on our wireless devices before. So it's a real breakthrough for us. And so far, so good. I've been really pleased with it. Setup was easy. Adding a new card was very easy. They have some administrative interfaces that come up on your device so you can track how much usage you've made. And they have three different cards. You can buy a week-long card that gives you only 100 megabytes of data. So just for real quick usage, that's $10, though. So can't beat the price. And then they have two-month cards, a $30 card and a $50 card that give you 3 gig and 5 gig, respectively. Mm-hmm. So I think it's plenty for us to be able to check our email and communicate with the basics. We probably wouldn't be watching any movies over the internet or anything like that. But
right.
I think we are, so far, so good, very happy customers.
Well, the neatest part about it is it's pay-as-you-go. So if you're not using it, you don't need to pay for it. So if you're going on vacation and you want to take some technology along, you know, light it up and you're good to go. That's awesome.
Bought it at Walmart. The price was like $99.88 or something like that. So for $100 and the price of a card to activate it when you need it, it's pretty cheap technology.
Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of Walmart, that's where I got my iPad. You know, the big launch was last Friday, and there were lines, you know, at Apple stores and whatever. I walked into Walmart in Hartford, Wisconsin at 8 in the morning.
Beat down the crowds, I guess.
There was not a soul. I had to rustle up a clerk to get one for me. So,
you woke them up.
Yeah. So iPads were not flying out of the Hartford Walmart for whatever reason. So
okay. I read a statistic today, I think, that so many million had been sold.
Yeah, 3 million in three days, something like that.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll give a review on it. I'll give a review on it later. I won't even tease you at this point. So, my pick of the week is a book, and I've had a few of those lately. Actually, this is called, appropriately, Presentation Zen: Simple Ideas on Presentation Design and Delivery. This is by Gar Reynolds. Gar Reynolds is a designer, and he's been around quite a while. He does presentations, and he's got a great blog, too, which I'll share in a second here. But Presentation Zen is, I think, one of his first books. It came out, I think, in 08, I want to say. The reason that I kind of latched onto this, I'm doing this, as I mentioned, this one-credit course for MLC this summer. So I wanted to try and find maybe some good resources for the students, and this is one. A beautiful book, for one, which you would expect to have something of quality in your hands when you're talking about presentation design. But really goes over some nice basics, some things that I think anybody could pick up, even if you're not a designer, about imagery, size of imagery, what font to use, what are complementary colors, how to try and get inside the head of your audience, what kinds of things to think about. Just a good read, and I would think that many of our listeners, if not most of our listeners, are involved in presentations, whether that be presenting Bible class, catechism class, in front of a classroom of students. We mentioned worship technology. This is important stuff, and I think we probably don't give as much importance to this art as we should, and this book really kind of helps you along the way. This is something you're never really taught at the seminary or at MLC, even, I don't think. And so this is probably a great resource. And there are some other books that I'll recommend later too that help you along the way a little bit. So Presentation Zen. The website is also by the same name, presentationzen.com, by Gar Reynolds, where he will have a number of articles on presentation theory and design and just some good tips to help you avoid the death by PowerPoint approach, where you've got massive amounts of text and bullets. And I think there's value in this for almost anybody who does any kind of presentations.
You know, you mentioned that we probably aren't trained on presentations specifically. I think the best training that I've gotten along the way is just being in some awesome presentations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can remember, you know, keynote speakers that I've seen at conferences and things that just had a huge impact with their delivery because they took the time to invest in the presentation.
Yep.
Software and in development and that kind of thing. And so you can't sell this stuff short, folks. I think it's worth it, and it's going to make an impact where, you know, obviously you want your message to be delivered as best as possible and to be remembered. If you're taking the time to do a presentation on something, why not, you know, incorporate some of these techniques?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Good stuff.
There's a paperback book, although it's a nice quality. It's a glossy page kind of book. I think it's $20-some-odd. And then there's also a Kindle version. I haven't looked at the Kindle version, so I'm not sure whether the content really comes through as well as it maybe could. But that's about half as cheap. So pick your option there.
All right. Very good.
We should remind everybody, Sally, about our 7 best.
Yep. Coming up April 4th, we're going to hit another 7 best list. This time, the 7 best email productivity tools and tips. Get rid of your full inbox and keep it all in shape nicely with the tools and tips that we'll share that week. And we'd love to hear from our listeners to include their best tools and tips as well.
Yep. This is something close to my heart. I probably get 150, 200 emails a day that I have to deal with. And without these productivity tools, I think I would just be swimming in this stuff. So we would love to hear how you deal with email. So let us know, please. Many ways to contact us. Go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, leave a comment, or click on any of the ways at the top right, ways to connect with us. You could be using Pinterest, Digo, email, Facebook, Twitter, The list, Google Plus, the list goes on and on and on and on. Or just send a good old-fashioned email, since we're talking about email productivity, wellstech@wells.net. But please do communicate with us.
Yep, we're anxious to hear from
we
you.
We are.
Time for some community feedback. And
sure
this week,
is.
DIGO is the source of all our community feedback. Mm-hmm. You mentioned DIGO earlier, and DIGO is a way for people to communicate with us. If you want to be part of our DIGO group, just head on over to DIGO.com/WellsTech and join the group and start sharing links that way as well. This week we heard from you, Martin, from Randy Nepson, and from Ryan Rosenthal in our DIGO group.
Yep.
And some of the links that were shared were quick and easy website privacy policy generator.
Yeah, this was from Church. It's Church Mag is the blog. This is a. I'll say the website because it's worth, I think, putting in your RSS reader. ChurchM.ag is the web address, but. One of their blog posts earlier this month was a quick and easy website privacy policy generator. And if your website collects any kind of information, you need a privacy policy. And this is a way to kind of craft and construct one. They list all kinds of samples, and just you press the submit button, and out pops a privacy policy embed code that you can put right on your site that people can read. And it does it in a kind of a stylish way. It's a nice presentation. So
this
good
is a
little
web,
tool.
A Web 2.0 tool that
it
they're
is.
Pointing to called Lubinda, I think
right.
is the name of the site. And
right.
with Lubinda, then you can just generate very quickly this privacy policy.
They
so,
say is it's
great
easy,
article.
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Can't complain there.
That's right.
And also make mention of OneNote coming out on top. I think Lifehacker's kind of famous for showdowns, as you would mm-hmm. call them or whatever, and they were asking about the most popular meeting minutes service. And apparently OneNote was nominated the most and very popular. So OneNote is a Microsoft product.
It is, yep. Comes in the suite. And if you go to the site, they will share with you some of the also-rans, which are also pretty cool. Minutes.io, Less Meeting, another one called After the Meeting, Meetings, that's meeting.gs, all kinds of creative spellings here. But almost all of us at some point or another are in the meeting minutes business, and these tools make it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I'm thinking of my ladies group and how we have these meetings and we labor over, you know, these important decisions about flowers or whatever it may be. And then we come back a month later and go, what did we talk about last month? You know, and just taking the effort to add some minutes and be able to look back and keep up with what you've talked about would be a huge benefit mm-hmm. to many of these meetings we're involved with at church.
Absolutely.
Okay. Next up in our community feedback, we had an article about making education technology make sense. And this is one I believe Randy Nepson shared with us, and it's a link to an article from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and some of the things that they're involved in. And I'm just scrolling down. You know, things like cost of software going down and how Web 2.0 tools are making such a big impact. They point to Manga High, which is an online math social page that, mm-hmm. that students can do math games and that kind of thing. So they're just kind of observing the shift of technology and education and how it can all fit together.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we had a couple of more links. What's the difference between all these video formats and which one should I use? Again, a Lifehacker article. This was shared by Ryan Rosenthal. And it goes into explaining the codecs involved in video mm-hmm. Creation and then the different formats like AVI or whatever. And they're not all the same thing. There's codecs and then there's formats and how they all work together and which ones are best. And so I think this is very useful information maybe for your audio-video technology crew that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So Yep. Good stuff. And then finally, I mentioned that Khan Academy has launched an official iPad app. And there were ways, obviously, Khan Academy videos are out on YouTube. You could go out and search and find different videos. But this is an official app that pulls together all the 2,700 videos, allows you to log into your Khan Academy account, which tracks your video watching. So if you're a coach and they call it coach on Khan Academy, a teacher mm-hmm. with students under you, they could use this app and you could see which videos they have watched. And then eventually it's their plan to add all the exercises as well to the Khan Academy app. Those aren't there yet, but it's a great launch for them. A good start with mm-hmm. Khan Academy on the iPad platform.
Yeah, I looked at it real briefly, and it looks well done. I think they've mm-hmm. taken their time with this, and it'll be a good tool to use. Mm-hmm. Is that it for community feedback?
I think that will do it for this week.
Then we should tell our listeners what's coming up next week, and that is maybe what I'll call Tech for Tykes. We're going to be talking with Jason Schmidt, one of our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents. We are going to talk with Jason about technology for the little ones, preschool through second grade. I know they've got some initiatives in his school district, and we've talked to other folks, too, about that. And is there technology that is really focused on the smaller hands? And we will also hopefully have an interview with Becky Huebner, who is a preschool director from Christ the King in Palm Coast, Florida, talking about our ministry to those little men and women.
Those early readers, yes. And how this whole visual aspect of the digital age is appealing to them and being able to educate them. I think it's a real exciting niche.
Yep. So tell your lower grade and preschool teachers to tune in next week for that Tech for Tykes.
Absolutely.
Let's close the show as very appropriate, as we talked with Brian Davison this morning, with one of their new songs from the album The Vine, Lord Jesus, You Have Come in Love. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
So who am I? closer to your fold. You still to you a stranger Circondale. Guard those who are within against offense and dangerous sin. Press onward with your word until faster and full of faith.